The Proclaim 2014 Podcasts, recorded by Cradio and XT3.com.
This talk is Parish-Based Marriage Preparation, an Evangelizing Opportunity, by Byron and Francine Parola.
So, we're Byron and Francine. We've got five children.
Yes.
We've been married for 26 years.
Yes.
I got that right. Go through to 27 now. And one way or another, through most of our married, all of our married life, we've been working in the area of marriage enrichment. And about 8 years ago, we dived into the area of marriage preparation. And we'll talk about why we did that as we unpack this. But just as we start, we thought we'd just, there's a small sample here, but can we just ask the question? It'll be helpful for us, but also helpful for each other. How is marriage preparation done in your parish? Is it done through the diocese, say a Catholic care or centre care? Is it done by the parish priest by himself? Is it done with a parish team, or is it done with some other group who operate on behalf of the parish? So just literally around the room.
Centre care.
So everybody gets referred there. Yep.
Yep.
Parish priest of the group.
Parish group, right?
Yep.
Parish priest.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Other.
Small team in a parish.
Right.
The Catholic care or what? Or the centre care.
Yep. Catholic care.
Parish priest. Yes.
I've been bringing it myself.
Yes.
Okay.
And also I refer them to the Catholic
care. Catholic care. Okay,
right.
You're a deacon, is that right?
Yes.
Yep. Right.
Sorry, in the back there.
I've got no idea.
No idea.
No idea. Good.
Okay. sir, do you have a... What do they do in parish?
Yeah.
What do you do in your parish? Oh, you're in the same parish?
I'm with John.
Okay.
Okay, you're with him.
No idea.
Okay.
I'm on parish placement. In a parish, and I understand the priest does three talks.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, yep. Yep.
Unsure.
Okay.
What about your parish?
The priests sign in with centre care or other groups.
Okay. Yep.
And what about your parish?
Well, we are a priestless parish with our lay leadership team, and we're very much going through an evolving period. So it used to be with the priest when we had a parish priest.
Yep.
At the moment, it's just something that's evolving and there's nothing, no structure at the moment.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, small sample, but that's about a third through the diocese and centre care agencies, about a third by the parish priest, and a third by other ad hoc means. So it's just interesting to actually think about how we do this as a church, because they're all, traditionally the parish priest prepared the couples. You'd go and see the priest and he would do the preparation. About, I guess, 20 years ago, the notion
of... More than that, probably more like 30 or 40 years.
The notion of preparing couples through some sort of educative formation process started to enter into the conversation, and different organisations started to form around doing that, to a point now where it's actually mandated, not always enforced, but mandated, that if you're going to be married in the Catholic Church, you will do some form of marriage formation preparation as part of that journey.
Now, there is about 20,000 Catholic weddings in Australia in any one year. From what we can tell, the sort of the diocesan agencies, the Catholic Cares, Centre Cares, all the various names that they go under, they probably cover about 80% of the marriage preparation. Like, if you look at their statements around their numbers that go through, they seem to be servicing about 80% from what we can tell, which sort of leaves the balance. I think there's probably some who slip through the cracks. And don't do anything, but then the balance would probably be prepared either by the parish priest or by a team in the parish or by some of the smaller groups.
And we fall into either the parish or the other category, our organisation. So what do? We provide a curriculum that anybody can purchase to use to do marriage preparation. So we actually have a curriculum out there, so any parish can pick that up and use it. And we also actually provide that service as well. So we actually have couples who prepare couples for marriage, usually for the parish priest. So the parish priest will send them to us and we'll do the marriage preparation. But we're not a diocesan agency. We're a lay organisation doing this work in the church. So that's sort of where we fit into the puzzle. So why did we get involved with this topic? It comes to the next question, which I think just let's throw it out and talk about it for a moment. Why do we do, what is the purpose of marriage formation or marriage preparation? Why do we ask couples to actually go and do something before they get married in church? What is the objective we have in doing that?
Marriage lasts.
Yeah. Marriage lasts, okay.
To connect them to their faith.
connect to their faith, yep. Mm-hmm. Build skills and awareness, yep. Any other reasons? I think we probably covered the key three big ones. I mean, the way we think about it, and they're all named there, firstly, it's vocational sacramental preparation.
So just like when our children come for First Communion or for First Reconciliation, we've put them through a program to help them learn about the sacrament and prepare them to receive the sacrament. Well, marriage is another sacrament, so there's that element of sacramental preparation that applies to the couple as well in terms of preparing for the marriage.
I think the other thing, so that's one, it's sacramental formation, it's preparation for a vocation, a life's vocation. The second reason is that actually we can build skills to help not just avoid a divorce, but actually to make the marriage flourish. And so we have a skill building, awareness building, understanding building. And that's certainly in the last 30 years come very strongly into it. So if you go into most of the formation educative marriage preparation programs today, you'll see lots of what I'd call good, sound, solid psychology, right? And building on all the stuff that we have, not all of it comes from the church, but nor does it need to. This is basically human relationship skills. And we've had an explosion of understanding of that in the last 20 years. So we have an incredible technology base now in relationship skills that we never had 30 years ago. So that's one. That's a second objective.
The third one, which we think too often gets actually overlooked or undeveloped, is actually the agenda of evangelisation, which is why we're here, is that most of us approach marriage preparation with a view to trying to help the couple avoid divorce, and secondly, to make sure they've got all the liturgy ready for the wedding, so it tends to focus more on the day rather than the life. But we forget that here is a couple that really, for most couples getting married these days, they don't need, there's not much to compel them to get married in the Catholic Church anymore. So the ones that do show up on our doorstep, and often they're not practicing, and they're quite disconnected, there's a spark of something there. There's a spark of faith that have brought them to our doorstep. And it's a real opportunity for us to perhaps re-engage them with their faith. But our marriage preparation programs are really, frankly, they're not well equipped, not ours, because we built it into ours.
We're biased.
We are talking collectively in the church, are not well equipped to accomplish that goal. Because as you as seasoned workers in the field of evangelisation well know, you can't just evangelise by standing up in front of a room and giving a lecture and getting couples to do a few activities. You have to engage with them in relationship, you have to pray with them, you have to walk with them in their faith journey.
So,
and that's very hard to do on, you know, a 5 hours on a Sunday, if that's, you know, a lot of the courses are just a sort of a short Sunday duration.
So about 8 years ago, we were happily doing all our marriage enrichment work working with couples. And I guess the thing we started to realise was that I think at the church, one of the key evangelising moments in the church right now that we're presented with is actually marriage preparation, and none of us are thinking about it properly. That was what we concluded ourselves. Because what happens is, at the moment, we have about 20,000 couples turning up every year to our church doors, asking to be married in the Catholic Church. Okay? And when they come for one of three reasons. Some come because they have a deep love and faith for the church. Right? Some come, no question about that. The majority come, though, because of one or two reasons. They come because they have some childhood memory of church and they always imagine being married in the church, or because their parents are pushing them to get married in the church.
Or grandparents.
Or grandparents.
Grandparents in some cases, yeah.
Or they want the aisle and the building.
Yes.
Right? No, seriously. You see this because we look at the statistics of where couples get married in the church, and it's directly correlated, the numbers, with the beauty of the church. Right?
So the old churches, the sandstone churches with the long aisles, they get many more weddings.
But think about this for a moment.
The school chapels. So the other parishes that have registered a lot of weddings are the ones that have private school chapels that come under their books. And so there's that nostalgic connection from their high school years or their primary school years where they were going to chapel services or church services in the school chapel.
But then think about this for a moment. 20,000 of them turn up.
It's a big number.
On our doorstep. Last year in the Australian Catholic Church, we had 5,200 adult baptisms. Probably half of those went through the RCIA program, and the other half came for other means. And we think those are our big evangelising efforts. But 20,000 of them turned up, most of which aren't practising, engaged in the church, the daily life of the church. They're on our margins. And here we have this teachable
and
moment.
And a good proportion of them are not actually Catholic. They're coming because their Catholic fiancé wants to get married in the Catholic Church, but they're not Catholic themselves. So it really is evangelization territory. It's about, I think it's about 47% are Catholics are marrying a non-Catholic.
So our guess is 20,000, 18,000 of them are two Catholics who are in love with the Church, and here they come.
Sorry, 18,000.
Sorry, 2,000 of them are in that category.
Okay, so really well.
18,000.
I'm all for optimism, but
of the 18,000, 9 of them have a non-Catholic spouse.
9,000.
Fiancé. Half of them have a non-Catholic. And the other 9 probably have a very low level of connection with the Church. So here they come.
That's just back of the envelope statistics.
Yeah, but here they come, 18,000 of them, right? And we have this teachable moment. We say to them, you must do some marriage preparation, right? And they dutifully turn up, right?
Sometimes very reluctantly.
So just imagine this for a moment if we were running a restaurant and we said to people, you have to come to our restaurant for dinner. You must come to our restaurant. And then we served them a slapdash meal that was pretty ordinary, right? Imagine what impression they would walk away with us as a restaurateur, right? So...
Have you ever, I mean, just, it's a little bit of a digression, but have you ever seen that movie, Schindler's List? Or,
Defiance,
the one of the similar sort of thing, but they're in the Russian forest. Polish forest, the Jews trying to escape. And at the end of those movies, they're both stories of incredible courage and bravery of Jewish survivors throughout the Holocaust. And at the end of the movie, they bring up sort of the credits, because they're all both based on true stories, and they start listing, you know, the survivors. And then they get to the end of the survivors, which was, you know, in the hundreds. Then they start sort of talking about the number of their descendants. And the descendants number in the tens of thousands in many cases. And what strikes me when I watch those movies is that, you know, Schindler or whoever the dude was in the Defiance, I can't remember his name, they didn't just save the 200-odd people or whatever it was there. They saved them and their children and their grandchildren and their children, children, children. They saved a whole vast network of people. And it's the same opportunity that we have in the Church. When an engaged couple comes to our door, they're like one of those first couple of hundred. If we can re-engage them with their faith, we not only win them back to the Church, but they're also more likely to raise their own children in the Church. And those children will have a really solid foundation, and they're more likely to go, when they grow up and marry in the Church and raise their own families. But if we don't engage them at that critical time, when they actually voluntarily come to our doorstep, serve them up something pretty ordinary, the chances of them actually starting to practice their faith are pretty slim. There might be some intervention, please God there is in some cases, but it's unlikely. They may show up with their children to be baptised, perhaps because they want to get into the Catholic school or for other reasons. But those children are unlikely to grow up with a really deep sense of faith being important in their lives. And then when they marry in the next generation, it gets even, the chances of those children being raised get slimmer and slimmer.
So what happens
is... we're not just talking about 20,000 or 40,000 people in this case. We're talking about their children and their children's children and their children's. We're talking about generations. This is a really critical opportunity for us.
So the number of people in Australia being married by a religious celebrant has been on a steady decline for about 20 years. It's down to 1 in 3. So 1 in 3 weddings in Australia are now done by any religious celebrant. And the Catholics are probably a higher proportion of that. We actually can't get the stats, but I think the trend's exactly the same. And it's not stopping. So the rate of marriage, which was declining, is actually kicking back up. But the amount of religious ceremony around marriages are still flat, are still going down on this curve, and there's no looking like it's stopping. So as Francine said, what happens is those 18,000 marginal Catholics, including 18,000 people that are either non-Catholic or marginal couples, if they turn up, as Francine said, what happens is if we really don't capture them at that moment, at that teachable moment, if we don't embrace them back into the Church, if they don't have an encounter with something which says, oh, I get it, or I didn't realise that, then they don't come back to Church after the wedding. Their children don't have a nostalgic memory of growing up in the Catholic faith, and they are unlikely to insist that their children get married in the Church. And we've lost them. Right? So this is critical. And that's why about 8 years ago we sort of said we've got to move into this space. We've got to start trying to provide as best a resource we can, and if somebody else comes along with something better, that's great, we'll use that instead. And that's where our work's been on this area.
Can we can, just...
I was going to say, ask. I mean,
just going to take a pause and take a just pulse here. Reactions, thoughts, insights.
You used the term marriage enrichment
during
your introduction. Is there a part of your program which says to these young folks, we'll start you off and... is a continuation of this?
So the mindset we have is that, you know, is that this is a vocation firstly, it's not a day. It's not an event, it's a vocation you're taking on. And what I often actually say to them is, think of this like professional development. In today's culture, all of us expect our employers to, you know, keep developing us. We demand it, right? And if an employer's not doing that, they're not a good employer, they're not... So you ask yourself, what's the most important thing in your life? And everybody says their marriage, right?
Family.
And you say, okay, so how many hours of professional development have you done in your marriage since you got married? And they all look at you blankly like you're mad. So we try to get this mindset for people, is that this is your primary purpose now. Your job just puts food on the table. Your kids are a byproduct. They're important, but they're a byproduct. You've got a responsibility to bring them through to adulthood. But your marriage is your vocation. Now the question you ask yourself is then, you know, is it important? Everybody nods, and you say, well, what are we going to do about that? How much do you invest in this? You're super, you're that. What about your marriage? So we try and set that up from the start, and we try and give them this notion of it's actually, you know, it's a continuing journey. And we talk about this all the time. We've been married for 26 years. I've had several marriages to this woman. No, seriously, I've had several marriages. They go through transitions all the time. There was the childless marriage, there was the young baby marriage, there was the growing up with the adult children marriage. You know, and
now we're having the midlife crisis.
Then she decided to have a midlife crisis without telling
me. It's a growth spurt.
She's having a midlife growth
spurt.
But she didn't tell me, so it took me a year to realise. I think it took her 6 months. So these marriages are constantly.
He was supposed to have it.
He was too busy.
Time.
He's too busy for the midlife growth spurt.
It's coming, don't you worry. It's red. It's got four wheels.
And a roof that goes back.
Yeah, and I'm going to look pathetic in it. No, but seriously, it's a really important point, and we try to impart that idea on them, that this is not preparation for a day, this is actually preparation for a life, and take that forward. What other comments or just other observations?
I think for us that, you know, the whole thing about evangelisation, it is that moment that we have, the challenges, you know, as that teachable moment, and our biggest challenges have. How do we do that in a way or what have we got that they want to keep coming back to? Because the other bit is, you know, I know for myself and my husband have been married for 30 years and we did a program with a couple, how important then the parish or our community was to us as we went through those remarriages often. And so, you know, but what do we have for them in our parish as well? So it's just really interesting that we have that absolute teachable moment. You know, what if they got to come back to it? So as well as the marriage enrichment and that ongoing thing, what else?
Have
you ever asked people with broken marriages what they have to teach people entering marriage?
We haven't formally done so.
You can see
the mistakes. I republish a lot of blogs and things, posts on our website, because you get some incredible wisdom and it's very believable and credible when it comes from somebody who's made the mistakes and is looking back with that sort of wisdom of hindsight.
Did you have a particular dimension though?
Well, I think that they've got something to really offer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, yourself, an example of a successful marriage, but failure also teaches. That's
yeah.
my
yes.
point. So
yes.
I mean, we've got to tap into that wisdom. It's not ignore it. You know,
yep.
The
yep.
The broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they can also speak to us as well.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of things. The first question, I hope the answer is breathingly obvious, but is it Orthodox Catholic teaching that you're presenting?
Our course. Oh, yeah, sure. Yep, keep going. Yep.
And the second one is, what's the business process? So if I want to encourage it in my parish, how do I tell the parish how much per couple's it going to cost?
Let me come to the business process, we'll get to all those practical things in a moment,
but if there's any more comments first, and we'll get on to that next.
I'll just answer the Orthodox one, absolutely.
Okay.
So the programs we run are reviewed. We don't have an imprimatur on them per se because it's not appropriate to get an imprimatur on absolutely everything, and it's huge, and it's video, and it's all sorts of things. But we have a whole bunch of, you know, the Vicar General or the Administrator of Broken Bay Diocese.
And it's also been submitted to the Pontifical Council of the Family in Rome. And we're told, because Byron's parents have been on that council for many years, and we're told that they really like our program and they would.
But it's absolutely so normal. I mean, and so are we, right? So I can answer that question now. We'll come to the practicalities of here. But also, just be clear, we'll talk passionately about what we do, but we're not here to promote our program per se. Mm. We're here to actually promote an idea about parish-based marriage preparation. And so, yes, we'll come to the other question in a moment.
Yeah.
Any other?
So in the course of your program, you come across a couple who, for whatever reason, once they've started your journey, decided that, hang on, this is really not what we want to do, or we didn't think about that. So how do you then say, all right, just because it's not going to work here, do you have a thing where you give them support and say, look, it's not the end of the world for you, we can help you move on to whatever, or do you just sort of like fall through the
cracks?
No,
we kick them out
and
throw them
to
the wolves.
No, you are. It's all gone. Like,
So we don't have a formal follow up for those couples. We do get many of them. In fact, we get quite a few couples who are discerning marriage. And I would say of the five or six, because we do a mentoring program, it's couple to couple. So the really lovely thing about that is that you can be very responsive to the individual couple. It means we have to have an army of married couples. You can be trained to be the mentors. But it also means that they have that personal relationship with the engaged couple, which is where the evangelization comes through and where the follow-up into their newlywed years comes through, because they now have this couple. So in that case, it's a mentor couple, so they've got a personal relationship with them. We often have couples will come back to, or individual fiancé or ex-fiancé will come back for a coffee and a catch-up and a bit of encouragement, but we don't have a formal program. We do find that mostly those ones that break up, by the time they get to the point of breaking up, they're actually really relieved, because there's obviously, there's been issues and they've been festering beneath the surface been caught in the process, trying to get to the wedding and having uncertainties. So it's before they decide to call it off that is the most difficult time. Once they've called it off, it's often easier.
So if you strip it back, I mean, I know how big and grand scale weddings get nowadays, and people just go over the top and spend millions that they don't need to. Do you bring the focus back to, you don't really need all that?
So a separate question now, or
do you bring it back to them and say, look, you really don't need all of that, and does it make it easier for these people?
If it's appropriate. See, this is adult education, right? So we're not here to tell them anything about their relationship. We're here to help them understand what the church holds out to be true, and we're to help them assimilate that into their relationship. Their responsibility is to interpret that. So some couples will never talk about the ceremony to us. The reception to us. And frankly, it's none of our business. We're not there to tell them how to have their reception. If they want to start talking about it, and this is the beauty of mentoring, you know, there's no one else in the room I'm worried about. I'm just worried about you. So what's on your mind? What's getting in your way? And of course our attitude is, firstly, and all our mentors' attitude is, firstly, it's the ceremony that matters.
The liturgy.
It's the liturgy that matters. The reception, that's fine. Whatever you want. But
that's, I suppose, what I'm trying to
say. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you put your back to what
very much so.
Is important?
Because we're doing sacramental preparation. We're not wedding planners, right? And what's interesting is the luxury we have when you're mentoring is people select mentoring because they're serious. If they're ticking the box, they'll go and find the easiest course to get through.
I think we probably just need to give you a brief sketch of what our program does, so you've just got a context.
Yeah, good idea.
So we have one of our leader manuals there. It's bought in 20, so there's probably enough. We're in a branding changeover at the moment, so we're now called Smart Loving. This is our manuals. We're about to reprint them by the end of the year, so I'm very happy for you to take them, because we'll end up pulping these anyway. Six sessions of 2 hours each, couple-to-couple mentoring, so in the mentor couple's home, ideally within the parish is the preferred option, although in Sydney we've got mentors all over to make wherever the engaged couples come from with their mentor. There's multimedia, so there's a DVD that goes with each session that gives them about 20 minutes of the core input. And so that is sort of quality control in terms of what's the main input. the mentor couple then facilitates the process, sets the engaged couple up, greets them, gives them hospitality, creates an environment, a warm, welcoming learning environment, a bit of a warm-up and opening, you know, discussion. They'll put the DVD on, they'll leave the couple to do their personal reflection and discussion together, and then they'll come back together and talk about it, set them up with some take-home activities and some tools to practice during the week, and then there's the next session rolls around the following week.
So 6 sessions, 2 hours in the home of a married couple.
With about 8 hours of take-home activities, so about 20 hours all up.
So 6 sessions, 2 hours in somebody's home in the parish. Here's the ideal. So a couple comes to your parish church for marriage preparation and they spend 12 hours in the home of a parishioner. This is the ideal. And we called the original versions program Embrace because the idea was to embrace them back into the church.
Sorry, this has got engage.
Engage or embrace. We had two different names to bore you with. And the idea is to embrace this couple in. We take them through 6 topics. The first topic basically sets the sights for marriage. It's called the mission to love. It basically reorientates them about what marriage is about, what the church's vision for marriage is. We then get into some of the practical things about communication. We talk about decision making and forgiveness. We talk about family of origin formation. We talk about sex and the meaning of sex as a communication. And we talk about spirituality. What we do throughout this course is that differs from many is we don't talk about secular skills and communication, and then we roll the priest in, or we roll the deacon in to talk about religion. This is completely integrated from start to finish. Everything interweaves with itself.
It's firmly grounded in the theology of the body. We will take a concept of theology of the body and then fill it out and ground it in a practical relationship skills. So, for example, we might introduce the idea of a communion of persons, and then we will help them appreciate that communicating for intimacy with each other, where they're establishing that empathetic connection with each other, that is a communion of persons. That's one expression of a communion of persons. So they're getting a really strongly integrated theology lived out in the practice of your day-to-day life.
So we think there are 5 goals when you're doing marriage preparation to try and hit to a gold standard. Right, so if you really are going to really hit the ball out the park, you're going to take these 18,000 couples who are turning up who aren't connected with the church, and you're going to try and do the best you can. We think there are 6 things. Firstly, the quality's got to be the best we can possibly give. This has to be high quality because we're competing in a marketplace for ideas, and people are they're used to being served up very good stuff.
You've kind of got to get above the noise. You know, they've got a lot of high quality entertainment options out there. For this to actually engage them and capture their attention, it's got to be presented well.
It's also got to be high quality content, right? So it's not yesterday's idea. It's got to be the best relationship skills. So we don't want someone to come and do one of our courses in the church to find out, oh, that communication skill set, that's 10 years old. It's much better stuff now to have to communicate. It's got to be current. It's got to be the best we can offer, right? We're going to bring everything we've got to this. So the quality's got to be high. The second thing, it's got to have a seamless integration of faith and relationship skills. Otherwise, you set them up as 2 different topics, right? And our way to God as a couple is through each other, right? Our spirituality is nuptial. And so if we start separating straight away on the first thing we hear, then all of a sudden we've set up this subconscious paradigm, which is our spirituality doesn't have much to do with our relationship. Oh, we go to Mass together. But when we talk about couple prayer. One of the most intimate things a married couple can do, as intimate as making love, is praying together, being vulnerable before God, right? And so the whole thing is set up in it. So it's got to be seamless.
And that you might go, oh, hang on, that's probably too much for most engaged couples when they come in. And frankly, it is. For most engaged couples who come in our door, if they knew that by the end of the program we were going to be talking to them about couple prayer, they'd be running a mile in the other direction. But that's the beauty of the way the program is structured. Firstly, it's one of the very last things we do. So we've had 12 hours with this couple, building a relationship, building trust with them, with this married couple. And believe me, when they fall in love with their mentor couple, they trust what the mentor couple recommends. By the time they get to the third or fourth session, that mentor couple has got such wisdom that they will listen to it and have give credibility to it because the mentor couple recommends it. The second thing is that if you're really getting resistance from them, because it's just couple to couple, you can back it off or tone it down a little bit. You kind of go with the flow a little
Explore
bit. There's a core curriculum that the mentors follow, but they have the discretion to sort of ramp it up or ramp it down depending on the engaged couple. And so sometimes we'll get really faith-filled, beautiful couples who are just on fire for the Lord and they want to go all the way. There's no hold barred. This is a great, fabulous program for them and they deserve to be given the opportunity to really grow their faith and their sacrament because they're hungry for it. And this program allows you to do that. Equally so, if somebody comes in where, you know, they're a bit lacklustre, you can tell a little bit. You don't have to kind of be so full on in terms of presenting those opportunities.
So, five things you've got to do. High quality. It's got to be seamless integration of faith and psychology. The third thing it's got to do is got to be parish-based. We shouldn't be... I mean, this is the ideal. But why do we bring somebody back into the church and then we say, go down the road to people you'll never see again? Right? And so this should be in the community, in the family. Right? They're more likely to come back to Mass if they fall in love with a mentor couple over six sessions.
And then they know somebody who's at the church already.
Right. You know, and so it's got to be parish-based. It needs to be done as wherever possible. Marriage preparation should be done by married couples. Now, this is not to say the priest does not have a role. But the sacramental formation of our married couples is not done by the content we teach, quite frankly. As much as we love our materials, the power of the course is not this. It's the 12 hours they spend with another married couple who are in love with each other, in love with the church. It's the sacramental witness. And so our marriage preparation ought to be done by living sacraments, not by skilled educators who can come off the street.
So how much time would you envisage out of that 20 hours? How much of that time do they spend with the parish priest?
It depends on what the parish priest wants. So in our parish, our former parish priest always wanted to have a seventh session where he came in with a couple. And he would do his own formation with them. Our current parish priest doesn't particularly want to be involved at all. It's fine. He's quite happy.
Well, he'll do things with the couple, but not involved.
But he doesn't feel the need to get connected with the course, right? It really depends on the PP. And this is the beauty of this parish base. It's built around the parish and the parish priest, and you can tailor it to him. So couple-led is not just because it's cute. It's because the power of the sacramental witness is actually the sacrament in action. And so they just don't hear the words, they see the words, right?
And if I could just before you go on to that, because I want to talk about the sacrament.
But not now.
Our mentor couples. What do you mean
by that?
No,
I'm just setting up the 5 points. Let me just set up the fifth
point.
We're going to come back to all of them.
Okay.
Let me just set up the fifth point.
Oh,
yeah.
No. This is how I work that. You're talking too much.
Fantastic. It's a win-win. I win every way.
You're a brilliant lucky man.
Absolutely. I know it. As somebody said, I married up. The last thing I think is important to marriage preparation and any formation actually is it's over an extended time period. So it's much better to run this. We can jam this course and do it in 2 days.
In fact, we've done that.
Yeah, but it's much better to run it over 6 weeks, where they get 2 hours every 6 weeks because they get time to practice and do things and think about it. Right. So five.
So in every session, they go home with a tool to practice during the week. So at the first session, they go home with daily appreciation. Every day this week, tell your fiancé something that you've appreciated about them to build into them that sense of gratitude and a practice of appreciation. It's a really simple but important. If they start the habit, well, then it carries through. And then the next week we give them another tool. But if you kind of back them up and jam it all in intensively, they don't, by the time they get to the third session, they don't remember what the tool was from the first session.
It's better than nothing. It's not ideal. So if you think about those things, it's got to be high quality, it's got to be seamless integration, it should be done in the parish, it should be led by couples, and it should be over an extended time period. That's basically the elements of how we designed our course. So on quality, one of the quality control issues we have is we've got mentor couples all over the country teaching in their living room. And you say, well, how do you know what they're being taught? How do you control the quality? Are they teaching dogma, or are they actually telling their own theory? Now, firstly, they've got to go through training for us. But secondly, what we went to was DVD-based teaching. the key 20 minutes of input in a two-hour session, the key content that we want to get over is actually done by Francine and I on video. Why Francine and I? We're not good actors. It was just the people we had available at the time.
It didn't cost much.
That's right.
Yeah, the actors, cheap. We were cheap. The talent
was cheap. The talent was questionable. Yeah. What's really interesting, though, just as a point about this, we got a surprise from this because we got a lot of concern ourselves and we got a lot of pushback from people. Hang on, you're bringing a couple into your home
and you're putting a television on?
That's going to completely destroy the whole objective you're trying to do. You know what's amazing? The couples who come into our home when we're running the course prefer to watch the DVD than listen to us. You know why? Advertising gets 30 seconds to change your behaviour on television because they use the full elements of vision, music, all the words, all the senses. When Francine and I are sitting on the couch talking, we're undisciplined, right? We're using one sense. We're using one sense.
Do you notice how he's put the table between us? So I'm out of kissing range here.
The DVD is actually a much more powerful teaching method. Plus, we know what they got. We know exactly what they got every time. So that's part of the high quality.
The other thing, because we actually, when we first launched the program, we had the written materials done, but we hadn't made the DVDs yet. So our mentors were piloting it without the benefit of the DVDs. And they were finding it actually quite demanding. When they got the DVDs, the feedback we got was, this is fantastic because we don't have to be teachers. We can concentrate on being mentors. And we can build the relationship with a couple. And we get this almost... because we tackle some tough topics in there, like we go right to the heart of them sleeping together and talk to them about why that's not a great idea. We explain to them the theology of lovemaking and how that is an expression of the vows, and we ask them to stop it.
We invite them to stop it, and we
set them up for an exercise to really reflect on their reasons
for when you understand this together.
But it's a hard message. And if you're as a mentor trying to articulate that to this engaged couple sitting in your room, in your lounge room with you, whom you've carefully built up a relationship with, it's a bit hard. I mean, it needs to be worded very carefully. And so what we get is this dynamic where it's almost like a good cop, bad cop. We can be on the DVD, articulating it very carefully and explaining it, making the invitation. The mentor couple doesn't have to try and convince them. The mentor couple is there to focus a relationship, to just love them and encourage them and be there whatever their decision is. They're not there to try and judge them about what their decisions. It's there to love them and to embrace them and encourage them to be the best they can be. That's a lot easier for mentors, and you don't need to have theologians to run this course because it's covered for you in the material that's provided.
So our challenge to parishes... There's lots of poor guys out. Sorry. Very important that comes in. Our challenge to parishes is, and why we responded to this challenge ourselves is, if that's the ideal to do this in a parish, I can just imagine picking up the phone and calling Father XYZ, who's got four parishes under his administration, and say, you must get parish-based marriage preparation going. It's important. Let me give you 20 good reasons. Right? Poor guy's dying. Right? So how do you actually resource a parish to do this in a quality way? That's the challenge. And so that's where we came from, is we're going to create a resource. And for parishes who want us to train their people and bring them under our umbrella of quality and maintenance and support, etc., we'll do that. And they can set them up in their parish and we'll provide all the infrastructure and we'll train them and we'll support them, etc. Or if they just want to buy the curriculum and do it their own way and never refer to us and do whatever they want with it, that's fine. We'll sell that too, right? And so we have a resource that you can buy, or we can actually help provide the service. And that's how we got into this, and that's where we are. And I think there are other people doing this. There are not many people doing it, though. So what's happening, and this is the challenge, I think, is that we really have two choices. We do it ourselves and we make it up as we go along, right? Well-meaning, but we make it up. Or we batch them out to the diocese and centre cares and Catholic cares. And these are good people. But, you know, let's be clear, it's a welfare agency. We don't send our First Communion out there, we don't send our baptism out there, we leave those in the schools, and that's got its own pros and cons. But putting marriage preparation into a welfare agency was never a good strategic idea. And I don't mean that in any critical sense, it's just the way it's evolved, right? So the choice for the parishes is actually a really, I think, an important one. If we think we should bring it into the parish, then we better make sure we can do it better than the next best alternative, otherwise we shouldn't touch it. And then you go out and say, well, how do we do this? And the trick, I think, is to don't try and do it yourself. Find a curriculum, find a support structure, and then apply that, because the gift is to adapt it into the life of the couple and into the community in which you live. Right? The teaching is the same teaching.
I'm going to have to kiss you if you don't stop.
I've stopped. I've finished.
We've got about 10 minutes left. Is that right? So, questions, thoughts? We'd like to finish by responding to yes.
Engaged couples in becoming mental couples?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, not straight away, but yes. Do. Yeah, it's wonderful.
And we have our actual flagship program is actually marriage enrichment. And so we use that to consolidate and form married couples, and then we train them into the marriage, into the mentoring. So there's a kind of a whole cycle.
Marriage enrichment is post-marriage.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's your formation.
And you use that with, well, we come across quite a few Protestant couples interested in the Catholic Church, but the model of marriage is something that they struggle to articulate.
Yeah.
Be a great course for them.
Yes.
Marriage enrichment would be something that would work.
It would work, yeah. And look, we get lots of non-Catholics do our marriage enrichment course too. You don't have to be Catholic to do it. You just have to be prepared to actually interpret the Catholic teaching into your own experience. But for a couple who are exploring, you'd get a great insight into Catholic theology of marriage.
And is that, again, a mentoring thing?
Or no, that's group. We do that as group.
It's a group session.
Private,
just a couple. There's no group activities. But it's a seminar room like this with some input from another couple, and then they go away privately and sort of write and share as couples.
If you hop on our website, you'd find a lot of information about that.
Yes.
Give you some information, we'll see.
Is there something for couples who are already married, say for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, which can be linked to this program? Mm-hmm. Because I would see as a good transition to prepare married couples to help.
Yeah. Well, our marriage seminar is not age specific, and so we encourage couples from 1 year married up to however many years married to do the marriage
50,
seminar. Because it's individual, because they only work together, there's not group activities. It doesn't matter. Like they're not trying to match up form groups where they're trying to get them other couples in their same stage of life. So it's worked very well. We've been running that for over 23 years. It is a weekend format, which struggles. It's difficult for couples to get a whole weekend together. So we're now looking at other ways to present it in a series of evenings and things like that. And that's sort of the next.
That's
thing
next year's project.
Next year's project.
Yeah.
Staffy.
I've got two questions really. First thing is, how do you actually discern who is an appropriate couple for a mentor couple? Because I would imagine that some people might think, well, I could do that, I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
But you might see that they're not, and how much cost is involved for a parish.
Yeah.
Yep. Firstly, we have a training program. So we encourage any couple that comes to our marriage seminar, we will invite them to think about becoming a mentor couple. We send them some information. There's a little brochure there around mentors. If they go to our website, there's more information. We do have some basic requirements. They need to be in a marriage that's recognised by the church. They need to be at least 2 years. And to be honest, 2 years is a bit too young. So if they're a young married couple, we'd probably suggest, why don't you come and join one of our teams that's doing some group versions of the course or be involved in some other way, just so they get a few years under their belt, because it's a bit hard to mentor somebody if you haven't walked the journey a bit yourself. They both need to be committed to doing it. So if one's keen but the other's not, that doesn't really work. And I think there's something else. They need to be able to do it at least once a year so that they can stay current.
But in the,
when they do the training, we go through the program very carefully. There's notes in those manuals at different stages where we ask them to discern about their own position. So, for example, if they don't buy the teachings on premarital sex, there's notes in there to reflect on your own history. So we don't require everybody to have a squeaky clean history on this. We just ask them to share very honestly about what their journey has been and where they are now. And if they can't honestly and faithfully present the church teachings as the preferred way, well, then perhaps this is not the right thing for you at this time. And we find that we get couples to do the training, but then we'll say, you know what, this is not quite the right thing for us at this stage. We don't pursue them to find out what the issue is, but they self-select. It's very clear in our manual that they have to be able to present the church's teachings comfortably and with integrity.
We reserve the right for any couple we train to tell them that we don't think they should do this.
Okay.
We reserve that right.
So it's a two-way thing.
It's two-way, but actually...
To be honest, we've never had to tell somebody that
can't. Probably had to broach it once with one couple, perhaps, depending on how you interpret what was done. Mm-hmm. But most self-select. They just realise it's not for them. Because we're very clear about what the purpose of this is and what we're going to do and the mindset you have to have. How does it work? Effectively, to run the course, you need to basically get... If you're going to be trained in it to run it by us, then you need to do the training. But effectively, what you need to run the course is to buy this. And we just sell this off the shelf, literally. The manual, the DVDs, and the couple participant packs. The only thing you need once you've bought that is a couple participant packs for each couple. These cost about $50 a couple. So the couples, it costs about...
You can
about,
buy them in bulk, but we have the prices.
But it costs about $50 a couple to put a couple through in terms of the materials. And to buy the starter kit, if you want to call it, or the mentor kit, it's about $300.
It's less than that. Sorry? It's about $180.
$180. So to equip a parish up, right, if you had, say, four mentors, because unless you had a massive parish doing lots of these, four or five mentors, it's not that much to actually start up. And once you're starting, it's $50 a couple for your materials, etc. And that includes all the support that goes with it. You don't have to do our training. You can literally just buy the materials and do what you want with it. We don't know what you do with it. It's your business. Yeah.
So you suggested that sometimes you run it not just to one couple. Yeah. We have already run it with a group.
Look, we've tried it in a couple of different formats. We did weekend intensives where we did six sessions back to back, and it was overwhelming. By the time you got to lunchtime, they were just so full up they couldn't take any more in.
Okay.
So we prefer to do it over like two sessions. Or we've also done in six evenings with dinner, and we've served them dinner and then we've done the sessions, and that worked quite well. But you do get people that can't make a session, and so you've got the problem of what do you do with the people who skip.
There's two issues with groups. One is how do you do it? Do you do it as six sessions or you compress it? So that's the first question with groups. The second question is how do you manage the group dynamic, right? And that's actually pretty easy because no one needs to talk to each other.
They're talking with themselves.
What you can't do in a group easily is build that one-on-one rapport. That starts to disappear. They get two or three, depending on how many couples you bring to run a group. You can do it with one, but sometimes it's great to have a second couple. They start to get a relationship because they get to know you, and they get to know us in a funny sort of way on the DVD. I mean, we bump into people and say, oh, you're the guy with the chocolate story, right? You know, and everyone, I forget, people know my story. But it's not the same. It's not the same as sitting in someone's living room.
The mentoring is the gold standard. There's no question about it.
It works. The feedback, when we get a survey back from a couple who's done a group course, they rate it just as highly as the couple who's done the mentoring course. From their point of view, it was fantastic. We're dissatisfied because we know what they didn't get.
Yeah.
But from their point of view, it was fantastic. And so you can
adapt it, and we have suggestions in the manual around how to adjust it. What you find is actually you can do most of the sessions in less time because you're not having long discussions. So about an hour and a half is enough to do with what is normally take 2 hours in a mentoring context.
I'm just going to explain one thing very quickly because everyone's probably going to walk out with a manual. Just when you've got a manual here, the way it works is if you turn to any page, you see a couple of different things. You basically see pages on the left-hand side that look like they've got a shadow around them. Effectively what they are from the couple participant pack that the couple will be looking at, talking, or you're managing the process. So you don't have to have a couple pack in front of you. You can, every time you, whatever session you're on and whatever topic we're doing, you know exactly what the relevant page they have is. So when you look at the manual...
It's got the DVD transcript there, so you know what's going to be said on the DVD. It's got everything broken down to ask them what they want for tea and coffee, prepare tea and coffee, and bring it back in 15 minutes. You know,
the only thing we ask the couples to do that's not in there, the instructions are in there, but the only thing that's not in there is that they actually have to share some of their life. So there's instructions for them to prepare a sharing.
And what to share, about what points to bring out in that sharing and so on. That's
the mentor couple.
Yeah. Mentor couple. Because that's where, and that brings me back to the point where you cut me off, is the sacramental witness of the married couple. is really fundamental, and it comes through in the sharings and the way they interact with each other. And in fact, the feedback we get from our mentors is that they love teaching this course. They usually have done our marriage seminar and they come off that and they've fallen in love again and they've cleared all the stuff that was hanging around like a blowfire at a barbecue and they've, you know, really switched on and excited and feeling really close to each other. They start mentoring this and they go, it's even better than the marriage seminar. And mentors absolutely love it. And one of the reasons is because they get a real taste of their sacramentality. When you're sitting in your lounge room and there's this engaged couple there, who you can see is coming alive and responding to you and listening to you and hanging off your every word because, you know, you've just, you know, you're sharing your stories, you get a real taste of how your love and your marriage is impacting them, and that's the heart of what their sacramental power is. And we don't get a taste of that very often in ordinary life, so it's very powerful for the married couples as well as the engaged couples. Can we get to these questions, or do you have to?
Yeah,
no,
no.
Okay, please go ahead.
Where do you conduct your training sessions, and how long is the training, for example, what do you mentoring couples?
We're very flexible about it. We sort of put them on an as-needed basis. So a couple of times a year, if we've got a demand, we've got mentors wanting to be trained, we do it in a day typically. So we'll walk them through the first session. We'll actually demonstrate it. We'll get one couple to role-play being an engaged couple, and we'll demonstrate the first session and get them to write their sharings. And so they leave the day with their first session ready to go. And then we'll do a sweep through the rest of the sessions and explain some of the mentality and the theory and so on, and look at duty of care and how to care for couples in different circumstances that might come up and so on. We have also, the other way we train people is that we might get them to join us as a team when we're running a group session. And so they'll get to sort of walk through all of the sessions and, you know, in between we'll coach them on the other bits and pieces, the pastoral care and so on.
It normally takes a day. We normally run it in Sydney, Brisbane or Perth. That's the places we have it.
Areas.
If people are outside those areas, we work out how to train you ad hoc. It can always be done a certain way. It depends how much experience the couples have at the other end of the phone when they call. And your other question was how long and when we do it. Yeah, so ideally a day, a full day.
And how much involved for the training?
How much is involved?
I mean, money-wise.
We don't charge.
Well, it depends. If they're going to mentor under our system and then we're going to do all the administration and collect the fees from the engaged couples, we don't charge them anything for that. If you're buying it for your parish and you want to send us some couples from your parish to train and you're going to operate independently, we usually charge about $300 and you get all your materials with it.
So that was the $300.
That was the $300 I had in mind, which is training and materials.
Yes.
And as far as mentoring couples, how many engaged couples do you find that work with in a year?
It depends. Some of our mentors will go back to back, so they'll finish one and the next week they'll start another one.
Two on different nights of the week.
And some will double them up.
Some will do one a year.
Some couples will only do one a year. They've got, you know, young children, or they've got a sick mother or whatever, or they'll take some leave. So the nice thing is that because we have a coordinator for a region and they're sort of like our matchmaker. They keep in touch with all the mentors and debrief after every couple that they put through the course, and then sort of, you know, work out, well, they're taking a break for a few months or whatever, and so they keep in touch with the network.
But very practically, if you've got half a dozen couples around the place, one of them's probably more comfortable, more able than another couple, more robust, resilient. You can often call them up and say, hey, do you reckon you could handle two at once? Would you mind doing a small group?
We've just got a backlog, can you do it?
And then you call the two couples and say, hey, look, I know it's mentoring, but would you mind doing another couple? And quite often they say, no, not at all. And if they say yes, we say, that's fine, we'll give you a mentor. So you actually, and then sometimes it's, you know, because it doesn't have to be parish boundaried. I mean, ideally it's within the parish, but the neighbouring parish has got a mentor couple that's free, say, hey, look, we're stuck. Would you mind covering us? Mm. So it sort of starts.
So we've got our ideals on how it would be run in the perfect world, and then we come back, we step back from
it's like
that.
Like family life.
So we'll run groups. If we've got a backlog of engaged couples and we just haven't got the mentors, we'll put on a group course and
do our best. Can I make one comment about groups? We would love everyone to be mentored.
Yeah.
For clear reasons. Mentoring is highly impractical. For 20,000 couples in Australia, they did four a year, I'd need 5,000 mentors. Okay, so it's not. So it's a vision, and we should offer it as best we can. The second thing, there's a lot of couples who come through who engaged couples who don't want to be mentored.
It's
they
terrifying.
Want to go into a group.
And sit down the back and be anonymous.
Right, you can understand that, right? And so the group's absolutely legitimate and it's necessary. And so when we offer it, it's not like we can't offer you mentoring, but we start to see a backlog coming or a rush coming. We say, look, some of these couples are going to prefer a group, so let's offer a group. So you don't necessarily, we might think we're shortchanging them, but this is actually not about us.
But you can obviously pick the couples who don't want to be one-on-one.
Like, sure, but well, they'll tell you.
And like, you know, because when I do the baptismal class, it's the same thing. The people who are just in because they have to be.
That's right.
You know? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. You know what's amazing, though, is couples, the great thing about married couples, unlike all the other sacramental preparation things, is they're in love with each other. And even if they don't want to come, you start talking about love, they just melt. This is the easiest
audience in the world. So the very first thing you do on the first night when they come to your home and you sit down in the lounge room, you get them to tell their love story. And it just is sort of the icebreaker. And it's beautiful. And you're like, you get to know them. And you know, you see them come alive. And it reminds them of all the reasons why they love each other and why they just can't wait to get married.
And you walk away feeling great.
Yeah.
You get reminded what you're supposed to be like. So, anything else? Any other questions?
I've got one question. Yeah. Is there an RCIA aspect to this? Because the non-Catholic person is attracted to the Catholic faith and then goes through RCIA and becomes a Catholic as a result.
Yeah.
In the last session, which is on spirituality and sacrament, and we really sort of look at the wedding liturgy and all that sort of stuff in there, we have some questions in there for them, for the non-Catholic spouse and the Catholic spouse, particularly around communion. How do I feel when I'm receiving communion? How do I feel when I see you receiving communion for the non-Catholic spouse? So it starts to open up the conversation. We also have the mentor couple make an invitation to either the disengaged Catholic. You know, we're a family, it's a Catholic family. You know, we do, some people we like, some people we don't, but we're still a family. That's what the Catholic Church is about. We'd love to have you be part of our family. We would be so much the richer for your presence. So if you've stopped practicing, please think about coming back and joining us. And if you're not Catholic, you know, if you've got questions, we'd love to answer them. We'd love to have you join us at any stage.
Thanks for listening to the Proclaim 2014 podcasts, recorded by Cradio and XT3.com.